I had reached rock bottom. I was in Johannesburg in a foreign city, no family, broke, famous. I've been in a situation where they changed my contract possibly a month after signing it. And the person I was dating was constantly throwing me out. I don't have a place to stay.
Hi, Genies. Welcome to yet another episode of Access Genie, the podcast that opens doors to success in the world of entrepreneurship. Thank you so much for being here week in, week out, where you listen to inspirational conversations with our guests every week. Your support ensures that our podcast grows and this community grows. And if you haven't subscribed yet, what are you waiting for? You know, the more subscribers we have, it means that we can have bigger and better guests every single week. And this week, we're upping it up yet again. I'm joined by Nozuk Ontshangase. She started her career in community theater before hitting the national screens, playing various roles like Ayanda on Skim Sam. You remember her? Yeah. She also had a big breakthrough role as Lumka in Mzansi magic drama Abo Mama, and she was Nox on Deep City. She's not just an actress, she's a certified life coach. She can help you understand what your problems are in your life and how you can change your life for the better. So if you're someone who's really looking to connect with themselves, this episode is for you. And if you're somebody who's just looking to understand more about life, understand more about where they want to go or want to even be in the entertainment industry, this episode is for you. Thank you so much for joining me, Nozi.
Hello.
Hello. I'm so happy that we're doing this.
Oh, I'm so excited. I am so excited. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course. We did this once before. I think it was in 2022 when I was doing an Instagram live series.
And look at you now.
And look at us now. We've moved from Instagram to YouTube. Now we have a whole production happening. You just gave me an aha moment and you haven't even started. That it's baby steps, because at that time I didn't have the right resources and means, or even the bandwidth to do like sit downs like this. But it's something that had always been in me that, you know, I'd like to have conversations, and then I'll do them on Instagram, and now we're here.
And that's how it is. Everything is a process.
Start where you are. You've been in the entertainment industry for over a decade now. Has it been what you thought it would be before you entered the industry?
Hey, get away now. You went straight into it.
Right into it.
Such a good question. No. Whew. No. And that does not mean that I am not grateful for all the opportunities that I've gotten. That does not mean that also... I'm someone who's not aware of the growth that I needed to go through and what the industry is supposed to mean to me and the part that I'm supposed to play in the industry. It does not mean that I don't have awareness of that. But that little girl that had a dream to work on television, maybe she dreamed too much. Maybe her dreams were just way too big, of which I am that kind of person. I'm a dreamer. I love dreaming. My imagination is wild. But when I started working in the industry, it's not what I expected at all. I won't lie. It's I didn't think there would be a lot of fighting and a lot of injustices. And I didn't expect to find the industry in this state. Yeah, because when you're at home and you're watching television, you have all sort of ideas of what the industry is and what the environments are. You only think of the good side, actually. I didn't expect the bad side of it. I am grateful for it, but I didn't expect it.
Yeah. What is that bad side when you say you didn't expect it to be in this state and for it to have so much fighting.
I didn't expect to find that in most cases, I'm not saying in all productions, that actors are overworked and underpaid. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect also the conditions that actors get to work under. I thought it was Hollywood.
Candy.
I didn't expect it. I get shocked all the time. And just maybe to educate someone who's not aware, the industry is in a developing state. It is it's not on the same level as you think maybe Hollywood is. So, well, they say there is a lack of funds. I don't know how true that is because I haven't been a producer. For now, I'm just operating as an actor in the industry. So the fact that there's, a lack of funds, it means that sometimes on set, you will struggle to get a green room. You know, there will be certain issues, that you don't expect in the industry that as an actor you have to fight for. Sometimes you have to say, please just put a green room on my contract because I don't want to finish emotional scenes and, not have a proper setup, not be able to relax or something. So I didn't expect all of those things. I didn't expect the conditions that we get to work under.
Yeah. What has been the worst for you where you're like, this day and there wasn't this because of the state of the industry that like sort of knocked you down a little bit?
I think the thing that really knocked me down, it's the overwork and underpayment. And it's always happening. You always have to fight through that. That's what's discouraging for me. And that's my truth. It's discouraging. Yeah.
And I think when I was listening to the speech by Mom Connie's son at her memorial, he also spoke about that. Like, you're working a 70-year-old woman 16-hour-plus days and really taking very little. And then we stand there and talk about legend of the industry and this. But, like, her life wasn't a true representation of all of these things that we talk about. And you mentioned things around pay and pay differences. Normally when we see you guys, we're like, who gonna marry, And I think it's also the kind of brand that a lot of the celebrities also portray. Wearing Gucci and Versace, hair is always laid down, nice dresses. And so you find that there's some in the space who do that. And because you're famous, we expect to see money. We expect you guys to sort of be better. So for people who don't know, what are the pay ranges in the space? There's somebody I know who has on Generations at some point before, and she was telling me that she gets 15,000 rands a month. And I was like, you're joking. Like, what do you mean 15K a month? So what are the ranges in that space?
It's so tricky to answer that question, because I've heard some actors be like, it's about how you negotiate, wada wada. But it's become so tricky if I'm negotiating from 5 rands. It depends where I'm negotiating from. It matters. That matters. I wouldn't know how to answer that question.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't know how to answer that question because it really depends. I think there are standard rates. The PMA makes sure, Uguti, obviously, actors can't be paid 500 rands per call. Maybe that's like 1.5. But my challenge is, you are 10 years deep into the industry, you're still getting paid around the same rate as you were being paid when you came in 2015. I think that paints it.
Yeah.
You're still being offered, and you don't want to fight all the time. You don't want it to make it a thing of you fighting all the time. But I think it's that. That's the best way to explain it.
And I think it gets even more tricky because the work is not standard, right? So when you know you've got a permanent job somewhere, it's there. But you can just be killed off the show, or of they're course. Like, you're going on holiday, you're not there for 6 months, and then you come back.
Yeah,
so it also has some sort of instability because they're essentially freelancers.
It does. And I mean, you could be on a daily telenovela or soapy, daily television, a daily program, and you may feel secured because maybe you've got a global contract. When you have a global contract, it means that you're getting paid every month. It means that maybe your contract is going to last for a year or maybe sometimes 3 years, depending on the nature of your contract. You can feel like you feel secured. I've got a global contract. Let me tell you, I've been in a situation where they changed my contract possibly a month after signing it and took it to Pekol. They're like, no, we're changing our minds. Actually, the story we thought you were going to do, you're not going to do it anymore. So yeah, there is that part of it where you can't feel secured. You can't. But I mean, we all have different journeys. We can speak about that part. That's really the part that I didn't expect. But also, I am grateful to everything that I went through because it gave me my passion work. Like it also directed me to a journey of purpose. So I'm grateful for it. And it made me also understand my position in the industry and who I am and why I'm in the industry.
Who are you in the industry?
Yeah. Who am I in the industry? I'm a creative. Honestly, I'm a creative and I am here to take on the torch from the elders that were here to build this industry. I have an understanding that it's a young industry, you know. You know Babuchova Fela, it wasn't so long, you know, when they started. You know Muzwe Ntsiza, it wasn't so long when they started. We all remember that. So there's so much work that needs to be done. I have to have an understanding that I'm not only here for the benefit, but it's also about what am I changing. Yes, I can see the state. What am I changing? I had to go through all of that, see all of those things that I consider as injustices and be like, oh, okay. Then why am I here if I'm not going to get this dreamy Hollywood life that I thought of?
Yeah.
And then the answers were, you're here to build. You're here to build.
Yeah.
They walked their path. Now it's your time. What are you going to do? But you're here.
Would you let your son or daughter get into this industry in this state?
I would.
Yeah. Why?
It's a beautiful industry. As creatives, we deserve the industry. It is our duty and responsibility to make sure that each and every generation they leave the industry in a better state. It's important. And if my daughter or my son wants to come into the industry, they better come prepared and they better know what it is that they're bringing.
And you know, power forms a really important aspect of any journey or any industry, be it in entrepreneurship, the space that I play in, or in entertainment or in PR or in selling water, whatever it is. It's always the people who are in positions of power who control the money who have a bigger voice and can do more. Who controls and runs the South African entertainment industry?
I would love to know.
Is it the producers? Is it production houses? Is it stations?
Okay. Like, you know? So obviously there's a structure to the industry. And Mina, I'm not going to speak about the music industry. I know the acting side of things. And the structure is that they are producers. Okay, we can say that maybe broadcasters that commission producers, and then producers then in their production houses then create productions for the public. So I think the person with the money is the broadcaster, but also there are other channels for producers to survive and be able to create work without relying on certain broadcasters. So there's possibilities to who owns the industry. And I can't sit here and know for sure who owns the industry, because I am matured enough to know that from what we see, there's always much bigger.
Much more.
There's always much more. Yeah. And I also, I know that as an actor, I'm just like a drop to what's actually happening. I'm just the face of what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in this, it, I mean, for what I know, I think the broadcaster is the man with the money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Yeah.
And you know, this journey in entertainment also led you to get into the space around mental health, etc. But mm-hmm. I know that your mental health journey had started way before, where you, you know, experienced some struggles in your life.
Yeah.
And I think attempted suicide at 16, again at 18, and I think again at, in your early 20s. How has owning back your mind gone for you? What was that process to like own it and say, I won't let it control me. I'm the one who's going to control this life and not be in this depressive state.
I had reached rock bottom. Yeah, I was in Johannesburg in a foreign city, no family, broke, famous, in a very toxic, abusive relationship. The person I was dating was constantly throwing me out. I didn't have a place to stay of my own. And I had to wake up. And that journey has been a roller coaster. For me, the entry point to waking up was through God. I had to first go back to prayer, go back to how I was raised, and remember my grandmother and remember my guides. But through it all, I think, honestly, when it was time to wake up, my guides did show themselves to me, because I think they also have had enough of my sleeping, if I can call it that. But I had to go back to God. I had to go back to my spirituality. And that opened up a long journey of self-healing. Yeah. And then I had to start investigating what really happened. How did I find myself here? And as a storyteller, I knew that I had to start from the beginning. And I was like, what happened? What, you know? And I found that there was a lot of anger, a lot of hurt, a lot of fear, and a lot of self-hate at the bottom and at the base of who I was. You know, being raised by a single parent. My father neglected me before I was even born. But, he would come there and there, but he was hardly a present father. My mother was a young mom. She was 17 when she had me. And that put a lot of strain between her and her mother. So emotionally, she was absent. So I grew up as that child who lacked a lot of love and care. Even though there were people making sure that I'm alive, I'm taken care of, but inside I was dead, and I had been dead for a long time. My heart had been broken for a long time. Hence, I was attracting all of this mess. And I constantly felt like taking my own life. So I had went through childhood, teenage life, and young adult life, feeling like I'm not worthy of love and I'm not enough. And I had to investigate all of that. And God supported me through it all until I got to a point where I was brave enough to make that decision that actually I deserve life. I deserve to be alive. And everything that has happened, it doesn't have to define me. Yeah. So that's the journey.
Yeah. Ooh, a lot to unpack in that journey, because it goes back to childhood and then comes back into our adulthood. So let me start it then from your adult state. Take me back to that moment where you're like, your partner has thrown you out again. What happened or what was happening that day that then clicked and you're like, okay, this is the last time I'm being kicked out and I'm going to go to the streets and figure it out.
I was lying on the bathroom floor. I was crying. We had had another physical fight and they were saying leave. And then they went to work and they left me there. I was on the bathroom floor and I was crying like a little baby. And in that moment, I had an experience that I think even today it's difficult to say, where I call it a that's so Raven moment. Yeah. Where you are there, but it feels like you are not there and you're having an experience that you've never had before. And in that experience, I saw my grandfather and I had never seen him before. I didn't know who he was. And he showed himself to me and he gave me courage. He gave me words of wisdom. He assured me that I'm not alone. And yeah, that was the moment that made me feel strong, that made me feel like I have so much more to fight for, that made me remember that I come so far. My family comes from Bizana. And my grandmother went to KZN, to Port Shepstone, to find work. And I come from a background where my uncles would come to work to Johannesburg. And I followed, you know, I followed those steps also. I am someone that comes from the Eastern Capes to Johannesburg to work. And in that moment, it felt like I got here and forgot who I was. I allowed the city, I just allowed myself to just go with the wind. And I wasn't protecting myself. I wasn't protecting the light that my grandmother had always told me that I have and that I am. So when I had that vision of my grandfather, I knew that if I don't change my life, it might be death after this. Because, I mean, yeah, when you are fighting like that, you know, anything can happen. We've heard those stories. So when I woke up from that, that's when I contacted a friend of mine and I told them of the experience. And they said, come home. Come stay with us and we'll see. We'll see.
And that takes a lot of courage. What was your financial and mental state that time, in that moment?
My financial state was a mess. And I had a job. But coming from lack, and when you feel unworthy, the chances of you being able to manifest or create abundance are very slim. So even though I had a job and I was an actress, I've always wanted to be an actress, but I didn't have a vision for my finances. I didn't have a vision for the life after. So in the mess of all of that, I am in debt. I am in debt. You know, I think also being someone who, because when you start working at that young age, you automatically have to lead a family. So you are trying to balance, you know, being a kid that has a job, and also you're trying to balance being someone that has to lead a family financially. It was very stressful. It was very stressful. You asked about my financials and mental
time.
Health. Yep. So, I mean, obviously the mental health was a mess, because if you look at my history, that I started being suicidal from when I was 16 years old. So already when I met this person, I was depressed and they were depressed. And we both didn't know that we were depressed. We didn't know that we both had mental health issues. So we were just like, to each other, taking it out taking all of it on each other. Mm. Yeah. So I didn't know who I was. My light was dimmed. Yeah, I think that's the best way to say it. Yeah. My light was dimmed.
Yeah. And going back to your childhood again, like, which parts or memories of your childhood do you think impacted how you were showing up in the world?
It's the whole experience of neglect. It's the whole experience of neglect, because what affected me were emotions that were deep in my nervous system. Because as a very bright child, I was doing great at school. I was involved in the community. I was doing community theater. I was excelling, and I can't necessarily say that I possibly had the worst experiences of life, but in secret, because there was a lot of emotional neglect from my mother, and also the fact that I was neglected by my father, I embodied these emotions of not being worthy, of not being loved, of not being enough. But it was an internal process for me. So the experience really is that, I didn't have emotional support throughout. Mm-hmm. And that will break a child. That will break a child.
And how did that then impact the way that you showed up in the world and how you presented yourself?
It made me want to shrink. I'm still fighting it even today. Made me not want to share myself. It made me want to shrink. So actually there's seasons to it. Because I said that I've always been someone who's quite bright, who excels with art, you know, who's out there. So at that time, it made me want to find love in spaces that did not serve me. Because this toxic relationship that I'm talking about that happened when I was here in Joburg, it was not the first toxic relationship. I've had a toxic relationship when I was 19. So it made me want to find love. I was constantly having boyfriends there and there. So that's how it showed up. And then later on, when I was here in Johannesburg, it made me not want to participate. It made me not trust myself to participate. It made me want to shrink and not, express myself.
Makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense. And then you then went and lived with your friend and her family to sort of pick yourself up. Mm-hmm. What was that journey or process like for somebody who's going through that now? Like, okay, now I'm sitting down. I want to get out of this and build myself again. What's the process like?
Unkulunkulu masekdinga. The first thing that they will do is teach you isolation.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it will all start. And you will feel like things are falling apart, but God just wants you in a certain position where you'll be able to hear them. And I truly believe that I went to my friend's place because I needed to grow spiritually. I mean, I don't think it's a coincidence that my friend's mom is a bishop, you know. And the way she conducts herself, it is exactly the way that I'm raised at home. So I really felt at home. And the fact that I had a lot of childhood trauma that also needed to be dealt with, and I needed a mother. So she became that symbol for me, obviously through God, who just made her heart very open for me. Most of the work had to come from me. I had to allow myself to give myself to God, because at first I did not feel worthy of giving myself to God when it was time for God to say, give yourself to me. I felt that, oh, come on, God, Mina, I will be drinking. You know I will be doing that. You know, like, why are you talking to me? I'm not the best soldier. I'm not. Yeah. And God was like, it's you that I want. And I had to start reading the Bible I had to start really understanding what it is that God wants from me. And then after that, I had to now understand that I had been through trauma and realize, ukuthi, how can I deal with that and try to find professional help. At that moment, like I said, I was broke. So what I did was do the research for myself. I started reading books so that I can empower myself with knowledge, and watching YouTube videos. And I just started really going deep into the wellness space so that I can save myself and really understand what it is that I'm going through. And then after that, that's when I decided to do a certificate in NLP, because I started really being fascinated about the makings of a human being and how you can just use your mind to create the life that you want. And I was like, so if I have been creating this much chaos, ooh, that means I can create big magic. Well, which is funny because I read Big Magic also by Elizabeth, and that's one of the books that really changed my life as a creative. But yeah, so that's why also the purpose of coaching.
And now you even coach and help other people find themselves. Tell us a little bit more about that business and how you do that.
I've always had a heart to communicate with my community. I love Black people. I'm obsessed with Black people. Ngiqhamuka eKasi, and iKasi is who I am. iKasi is what made me. I was made by the community of Kamalake 039. What's up? I will forever be that girl. So being that girl, it's so important for me to spread consciousness, to teach consciousness, because for me to have this awareness is because somebody cared enough to want to teach consciousness. And with the history of Black people, it's so important that, well, just me, I think one of the most important things that our generation need to look at is the freedom of mind. And that is really what I am working on. So, and NLP helped me find structure to be able to express those ideas, right? And having been through neglect and feeling unworthy, I really felt the need to help young people, to help especially women find their self-confidence and find their self-love. And when I describe self-love, I'm not only just talking about, oh, I love myself, self-care, let's have a bath. I'm talking about you really understanding your full consciousness as a being. You know, you really understanding your mind power. How do you work your mind? You understanding the depth of your emotions. How do your emotions work, and why do you need your emotions? And understanding, I call this superpowers, understanding your superpowers as a being, what it is that you use to create. Because at the end of the day, we are all creatives, whether we like it or not, whether we like it or not. So how about we equip ourselves with the right tools to help us create the life that we want? Mm-hmm. And it's my heart.
Yeah.
It's my heart. It's important that people understand who they are, because I don't need another Ancilla. That's not what the world needs. The world needs you. You came here with something. The power and the magic is you. That's the secret code of the universe. Yeah.
Indeed, that's the secret code of the universe. And sometimes we forget, because we're trying to be other people so much that we forget that we are special in our own way. And it's just about being able to reach within and find that specialness, that unique thing that that you have in your life to push through. And you talk about how you're a Kasi girl and the Kasi made you, and you're not just talk, you're actually also putting it into action. On the 28th of August, we actually have an event called Kasi to Kasi, which is an empowerment event, because there's so much talent in our neighborhoods. What is that event about, and what should people expect from that event?
From that event, I'm so excited. I'm so excited because for the longest time, I've been wanting to do a Kasi to Kasi tour. And this is me just trying it out. I really want to be in your neighborhood. I want to travel around South Africa talking to young women about finding their self-confidence and self-love. The name of the program is called Uniquely Me. That's what it's called. Expect to do the work. And Sile, what I do is help you do the work. Because I know that when I was in a dark space, I just needed someone to help me do the work, to help me understand this mindfulness, to help me understand this mental health thing, to help me understand how I can be unstuck. I just give you a structure. That's why I've structured Uniquely Me into a 21-day challenge. There is, you can get that online as a 21-day challenge. But I do the free workshop so that I can be able to share myself. I don't know if I'm the problem, but I struggle for now to charge abantu basekhaya. And I'm saying this for someone who's listening out there. I'm looking for sponsors. I'm looking for people to support my initiative because I understand this is business, but for me, my purpose is to do it the way that Jesus did it. I get it, but I really want to do it that way because I there's a need to do it that way. I know information is accessible, but mindset is a problem. You know, you will have that smartphone, but you will not think of checking Access Genie, where Access Genie is going to help you. You will check another podcast that won't help you. So it's important that we go there and we share ourselves, like the motivational talks that you're doing. Then we share ourselves just to shape the mindset into the right direction.
Yeah.
So that's sure. What Uniquely Me is about.
Yeah. So let's just do a very quick case study, right? I'm going to give you a fictional character and we'll coach this character through their life, right? And I'm picking this up from a lot of comments that we get on the podcast from the stories that we've shared and what people have said about their lives. So one devastating theme that we keep on seeing day in, day out on the comments are people say, me too. It could be somebody who's sharing about a horrible relationship with their father. Lots of people would say, me too. Somebody sharing a horrible relationship with a romantic partner. And people would say, me too. So there is this big sense of hurt and damage that has been done to people, mostly women in the country. Abantu are broken. Every time I read those comments, I'm like, God, you pushed me and led me to do this podcast, but I was not ready. Because when I read all of those comments, like my heart just shatters and I'm like, so how do you help? How do you do more? How do you add more value? So if you were to talk to somebody like that, will truly be a lot of people who are going to be watching this conversation who have been hurt and broken by various things and people they trusted in their lives. And they're feeling like, listen, nothing is working. A lot of them will say, been broken. I've tried to stand up and find a job and do whatever to stand on my own. It's like ngizothi bangiloyile because nje eminyanga ayivuleke ngathi wonke umuntu mangixoxoda bavala, you know. So what kind of advice or coaching would you give that person?
You know, into ebalulekile Ansila, when you coach someone is to make them understand that sizosuka where you are and go where you need to be. So the first thing that I do, Mina, which I like doing as a coach, is first, let me understand your future vision. Let's start with your future vision. I understand everything that's happening. I get it. I acknowledge it. But let's start with the future vision first. Where are we going? And then when we've got where we're going, and we have a clear understanding of the direction that we want to take now, and then we see the person that we are trying to build and that we are trying to get at. Okay, now let's come back to this person that we are today. What is holding this person that we are today back from being that person that you want to be? Okay, Negative self-talk? Okay, let's deal with it. Let's speak the truth. What is your truth? I understand your mind is telling you that because you have been molested, maybe you don't feel that you are worthy. What is the truth? Let's find the truth. Okay? What's holding you back? Childhood trauma. What happened? How do we start raising that child? How do we start reparenting that child for them to meet you where you are so that they can take the direction with you to going to the person that you need to be? So we will go step by step understanding the things that are holding you back. Okay, sharp. Now, are we ready to take the walk? How do you feel? How much can you give me? After, out of 10, how ready are you to start being the person that you need to be? You know, a person may say 6. Okay, what do we need to get you to a 10? Let me know. Let's work on that. Let's do the work. Then we do the work to get you to an 8, you know. And then we get to a point where you start feeling confident about the person that you are trying to be. You start feeling worthy of the person that you need to be. So for me, that is how I coach and that is what I use.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because the truth is what we go through it for certain reasons. And each person goes through what they need to go through for certain reasons. No one can change certain things, but we need to work through them so that we have awareness, we have understanding, we have compassion for the things that we've been through and the people that we've been. But possibly we feel lack because there's a certain image and a certain vision that we have for ourselves and we're not achieving it. So now let's start slowly taking ourselves to the person that we need to be.
Yeah.
So I hope that's I answered your question.
You really did. And I think one thing that you are saying that I think is critical is the understanding that it's a journey and you work through it one step at a time.
Yes.
I think it's just having to unlearn this instant gratification that we live in, where you want everything now.
Nothing can happen now. It takes time. It takes time. And understanding that we live in a mental world. So it's so important for us to understand that we have to first work inside of ourselves, work with who we are internally for things to be able to reflect in the outside world, in the physical world, right? So that takes time. It's a change of mindset. It's a change of reality. So it's going to take time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I can't be like, the pain is gone. The hurt is gone. You know, and now you're a millionaire. No, you have to work through
it. Go through the journey.
Yes, and go through the process.
Talking about the mind, I'm like, the mind is such a powerful thing. Yesterday, Mr. N and I went to the Museum of Illusions in Rosebank. And oh my goodness, I got this awakening of how deep the mind can lie to you.
Mm.
Where I know for a fact I'm standing on the ground, but because of the illusion, I think I'm flying. And my body, like moments where I get so scared because I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to fall. But my feet are on the ground. There was this one pathway where it's like a tunnel and you're walking through a bridge. And it feels like the bridge is wobbling and you're going to fall. But you're literally on the ground. But your mind tricks you so much that you think that's what is happening. And you get, I got through all different types of emotions. I got scared. I got anxiety. All of these things. And my feet were on the ground. So the mind is really, really powerful. And it can take you whichever direction you allow it to take you. So even in that moment, I had to remind myself, but your feet are on the ground, Angela. This is just a picture. Nothing is moving.
Exactly.
This is just a picture. And only then did I then, you know, get settled. So the mind is really powerful. And I think the work that you're doing around the mind and us owning our minds is really, really important, because you'd think you're going crazy. And talking about the work you're doing around the mind, I know that you've also launched a mental health bundle. Tell us a little bit more about it.
So I got a chance to be part of a mental health bundle with my program Uniquely Me, a 21-day challenge to reclaim self-love and self-confidence. It's got about, I think about 70 creators, mental health creators from around the world, psychologists, certified coaches, and it's all about you. It's all about making sure that we empower the mind, that we empower the spirit, and also that we teach people that it mental health is something that is common. We all need to be aware of how well we are mentally, of how well we are emotionally, the same way we need to be aware of how well our bodies are. So it's really about spreading that language. Today's the last day. It was going for only just for $50, but today's the last day. But my program, you can still get through my Instagram. Yes, yeah. Through my Instagram, there's still a landing page there for Uniquely Me. So you can still watch it.
You can still watch. That's absolutely incredible. So when we're in this podcast, we like to play what we call Fast Five. Ask you five questions. You can answer in a word,
okay,
a phrase, or a sentence. So it's short, but listen, you can make it a sentence if you need to. Are you ready?
Fast five. Okay.
So question number one, what's the one thing that you think people misunderstand about you?
Misunderstand? I don't feel misunderstood. What do people... I think that I'm not one-dimensional. I'm a lot of people. I have a lot of expressions. I don't know what's the right term to use, but tomorrow I will wake up feeling feminine. The other day I will wake up feeling masculine. The other day I will wake up feeling both. The other day I will wake up feeling like a 16-year-old. Sometimes I wake up feeling like a granny. So I think people thinking that I'm going to show up as one thing is never going to happen.
And what inspires you?
What inspires me? Love. Human beings.
And if you were to put up a billboard that will be up for 30 days, what would be on that billboard?
Black consciousness.
And if you were to talk to your 16-year-old self right now, what would you say to her?
Got to have fun.
Yes, fun.
But actually I would tell her that, because I think some of the mistakes she made was regarding just liking umjolo. It's not even about abafana, but umjolo.
Umjolo in general.
Umjolo.
If, say, in 150 years science fails to save us and the world, and the only thing that's left is a book that you wrote about your life, what will be the title of that book? And what would the person who picks it up learn about the life of Nozuko?
Uniquely Me. And it's coming very soon.
Coming very soon.
Uniquely Me. If there's anything that I would like people to learn from me, is that the power is inside of them.
Yeah. The power is inside of you, no matter what.
No matter what, the magic is in is you. You are the secret code.
Yeah.
If you're not getting a job, know that there's something you can still do. If you've been through trauma, know that there's something you can still do for you to heal, for you to find yourself. There's always something that you, only you, can do.
Yeah. And you heard it right here from Nozuko Ntshanga, the actress who's kept you entertained on your screens. And now if you're in any township in the country, she might be coming right by your doorstep to help you and empower you. If you don't follow her, please check out her YouTube channel, her social media pages. They're active and you'll be able to get her services and learn a lot from her. Thank you so much for watching Access Genie. And a big thank you and shout out to our studio partner, Photographers Galore, right here in Sharon Lee in Northgate, Randburg. like, if you're looking for a space as beautiful as this one to take pictures, videos, or create any type of content, please reach out to them. The contact details are on the screen. And guess what? Because here at Access Studio, we care and love you. We also have a discount for you. Please just use the discount code that you see on your screen right now when you're making your booking, and you'll get a whopping 15% off your booking.